So we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita today, Madhya Lila, chapter 18, text 127. Please repeat. Se sabaloke prabhu prasada karila. Krishna preme matta loka nija ghare gela. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then bestowed his causeless mercy upon all the people there, and everyone became ecstatic with love of God. Finally, they all returned to their homes. So we'll read till text 134. Emot koto din akrure rohila, Krishna nam prem diya loka nishtarila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for some days in Akrura Tirtha. He delivered everyone there simply by distributing the holy name of Krishna and ecstatic love for the Lord. Madha Purishishaseta Brahman Maturar Ghor Ghor Karana Nimantrana. The Brahmana disciple of Madhavendra Puri went from house to house in Mathura and inspired other Brahmanas to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their homes. Maturar Yatlok Brahman Sajjan Bhattacharya Stane Ashi Kor Nimantram. Thus, all the respectable people of Mathura, headed by the Brahmanas, came to Balabhadra Bhattacharya and extended invitations to the Lord. Ek din dishabis aishe nimantran Bhattachar ekir matra korena grahan. In one day, 10 to 20 invitations were received, but Balabhadra Bhattacharya would accept only one of them. Avasar napai lok nimantrane dite sevi sadan lok nimantrane nite. Since everyone did not get an opportunity to offer invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, they requested the Sanodya Brahmana to ask the Lord to accept their invitations. Kanyakubja Dakshinatir Vaidika Brahman Danyakori Kore Mahaprabhur Nimantram. The Brahmanas from different places such as Kanyakubja in South India, who were all strict followers of the Vedic religion, offered invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great humility. Pratak kale akrur ashi randhan kuriya prabhur bhiksha dena shalagrame samirpiya. In the morning they would come to Akrura Tirtha and cook food. After offering it to Shalagram Shila, they offered it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. There are Brahmanas known as Pancha Gaudiya Brahmanas who come from 5 places in northern India. And there are Brahmanas known as Pancha Dakshinatya Brahmanas who come from 5 places in southern India. In northern India, the places are Kanyakubja, Sarasvata, Gauda, Maithila, and Utkala. In southern India, the places are Andhra, Karnata, Gurjara, Dravida, and Maharashtra. The Brahmanas from these places are considered to be very strict followers of the Vedic principles, and they are accepted as pure Brahmanas. They strictly observe Vedic principles and are not polluted by tantric misdeeds. All of these Brahmanas respectfully invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch. So the verse was, Se sava lok prabhu prasad korilo, Krishna preme matta lok nija ghore gila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then bestowed his causeless mercy upon all the people there, and everyone became ecstatic with love of God. Finally, they all returned to their homes. So, this is about mercy. This verse is about mercy. And Srila Prabhupada translated Prasad Karilo, bestowed his causeless mercy, his prasad, to the people that he met around Vrindavan. This is, the pastime is called the Lord's visit to Sri Vrindavan. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled extensively in India, and many people were attracted by his, it's described many times, his beautiful form. He was very tall and shiny. Beautiful features. So, people naturally would become very attracted, and they would come to him and wanted to get his blessings. And also because he was a sannyasi, So the tradition in India is that sannyasis are served by the grihasthas, by the householders. And it's a great privilege to invite a sannyasi to one's home and feed the sannyasi to his satisfaction. So therefore the grihasthas were competing and invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it is also explained that the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he had to go and knock door to door and kind of announce, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. Please invite him to your home. So there was a little bit of Sankirtan going on. Why was that? If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, obviously everybody should understand. Now God has come. And offer praise and invite and worship. But no, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes in his hidden form. So many people would recognize immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a very special personality, but most people would not understand. So there was another, just before you read it earlier in this chapter, the story of people coming to him saying, there is a Krishna dancing on the Kaliya serpent in the Yamuna. Every night we see Krishna coming, dancing on the Kaliya, the serpent. And then, and even the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, said, please let me go, I want to see Krishna dancing on the head of the serpent. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining, the villagers, they see some fishermen going with some lamps in the night, and immediately they think that this is Krishna. And so he was telling and explaining, I've come. So it was not very obvious who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was a little difficult to understand. So another time, since today is Shiva's Pandit's appearance day, so I can say a few things about Shiva's Pandit. Shiva's Pandit was belonged to a very nice Brahmana family, and he had his home just near to the house, to the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there also, as we know, there was going on very loud kirtans. And this was very disturbing for the neighbors, especially in Nadia. There was many Brahmanas living there, because Nadia in those days was considered the Oxford of East India, and people used to come from all over, basically even from all over India, to study Nyaya, to study logic. It was very reputed. And if you had a good education in Navadvip, it was like having a degree from Oxford, then you could get employment as a philosopher or a Brahmin in the court of kings. So it was very prestigious. So people flocked to get a degree from Navadvip. So there were many different schools, tall, and many ritualistic Brahmins were living there. Many tantric Brahmins also. And they were a bit complaining because for the Orthodox, the Karmakandis is quite offensive for Brahmins to recite the names of God very loudly, different mantras. They are not meant to be recited by untouchables, so lower caste people. So they were thinking that now in Shiva's Pandit's house, there is this very loud chanting of Hare Krishna, the sacred name of God. This is not proper. What will people think? That all the religious principles now are destroyed. So some were complaining like that. But the main fear was the fear of the Muslims, because in those days, in the 1200, the Turks had taken overrun the Sena dynasty. Navadvip was the capital of the Sena dynasty's empire in East India. So they were mainly Buddhists, but East Bengal had developed as a center of Hindu practice also. So now with the Muslims, at different times were sometime more tolerant, sometime more oppressive. And you never knew whether a ruler would be very harsh against the Hindus and try to stop the practice of worship of deities and yagyas and everything, or the ruler would be a little bit more lenient. So on one occasion the devotees, they heard that two boats of Muslim soldiers were coming to the house of Sivas Pandit, and then they understood that somebody, some Hindus, had complained about them, and the devotees were very afraid, because you never knew what would happen. I mean, it was a very frightening situation. And Sivas Pandit, he went to his home and started worshiping Nrisingadev, offering puja and prayers. Namaste Narasi. I guess we would do the same if we would be in a dangerous situation, right? We take shelter of Lord Nrisingadev. So Sivas Pandit was worshiping Nrisingadev, and other devotees were going back to their homes, and they were kind of in great distress. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just went and took, he was there, and he took a walk in the bank of the river. And he was very peaceful, like very relaxed. And then the Brahmins became even more envious, because they thought that now they would teach a lesson to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees. They would become very afraid, and they would not dare to have loud kirtans anymore. But then they look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was totally peaceful. He was walking, he was smiling, you know, happy. So then they became even more agitated. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that the devotees were in great anxiety, so he wanted to pacify them. So then he went back to the house of Sivas Pandit, and then he started knocking at the door very loudly. What are you doing, Sivas Pandit? You're worshipping Nrisingadev, but I'm here. Why are you wasting your time? So then Sivas Pandit, he opened the door and saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, up to that time, he didn't reveal really his identity clearly to Sivas Pandit. But then at the time he told him, you don't have to worship anyone else. I always protect my devotees. So you just worship me, and then I will take full care. So then immediately Sivas Pandit offered prayers, you are the Supreme Lord, you are Vishnu, you are the sum total of all incarnations, and you have come and to protect the devotees and spread the Sankirtan movement. So he gave very nice prayers. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, please bring all your family, all your friends, and worship me. And so they did. They brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the courtyard, and then everyone started to sing and praise Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, but still the devotees were a little bit unsure about what was going to happen, what the Muslims would do. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling them, well, if the Muslims come in and they want to arrest us, then I will tell them, you please arrest me first and bring me to the Qazi. And then when I'm there in the court, I will challenge him, bring all your philosophers, all your peers, your sadhus, and then let's discuss the Quran. And then I will defeat them. And then he said, maybe you don't still believe me? All right. Then if that doesn't work, if the Muslim are still not convinced, then I will flood them with love of God. And I will make them roll on the floor in ecstasy. And then they're finished. Bosh. So then he was looking, you don't believe me? So then he said, please. And then Narayani, the niece of Sivas Pandit, she was a young girl, 4 years old, says, Narayani, please come here. Then she was a young girl, she came. and then says, "Now you chant Hare Krishna." And the little girl was, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." And then suddenly she was totally overwhelmed with love of God, that she started crying and rolling, and she was totally overwhelmed with ecstasy. So then everyone says, "Yes, this is powerful." So this was the so it was not obvious who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, indeed. So and then even the activities, because the activities of the devotees were highly unusual in Chaitanya in many ways, like speaking about Shiva's Pandit. Nityananda Prabhu used to stay in Shiva's Pandit's house, and he would behave in highly unusual ways, as we know. And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu were always mock fighting. And sometimes Nityananda Prabhu would play like our boys, so he would start throwing rice all over the place. So sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would question Shiva's Pandit. So why are you keeping Nityananda Prabhu was staying in the house of Shiva's Pandit? And he would say, "Why are you keeping Nityananda Prabhu in your house? He creates such a disturbance. He never follow any rules, and all your Brahmana friends, they think that he's a madman, and your reputation is finished. So why are you keeping Nityananda Prabhu?" And then Shiva's Pandit would say, "It's very bad that you're testing me like that. It's very unfair, but since you did, I know that there is no difference between yourself and Nityananda Prabhu. So as much as I worship you, I worship Nityananda Prabhu. Even if he gets married with a Muslim woman, or he drink wine, he's my Lord, birth after birth." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately was very pleased. He really understood the essence of my relationship with Nityananda Prabhu. So please, thank you. And in another occasion, during the kirtans, there was something horrible that happened in the house of Shiva's Pandit. One of his sons was terribly sick, so during a kirtan he left his body. And we know the pastimes. Then the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were very intense and were very kind of pure. Whenever there was some kind of disturbance, maybe someone among the kirtaniers was not totally absorbed in the kirtan, or somebody had some material desires of some kind, the flow of love of God, it was not really sweet enough. So there would be something happening there. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stop the kirtan and says, "What's wrong now? Something is not right." So there were some different episodes like that. So this time he stopped the kirtan and was wondering something is wrong. And Shiva's Pandit said, "What's wrong?" "Nothing is wrong." And then, but because Lord Chaitanya is in the super soul, he understood something very serious happened. And then he asked in the house, "What happened?" "Yes, one of our sons died in the middle of the kirtan." And Shiva's Pandit didn't want to stop the kirtan. He thought it was very auspicious. Leaving the body while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting the kirtan. And then he had told his household not to lament, because that would disturb the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, and then he saw the boy dead. And then he asked him, why did you leave now? And then immediately the boy woke up and started to speak. "By your will, I came in this home, and now my time is over. By your will, I left. So there is no reason to lament." So then they made a funeral rites, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very touched by Shiva's Pandit's devotion. So the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very mysterious. They're very difficult to understand. And therefore he would always tell his devotees, whenever something happened, whenever he would, sometime he would, Shivas Pandit has a Muslim tailor, that he would make the clothes for the family. And he would come regularly to the home of Shivas Pandit. And somewhere other, the Muslim, he was a Muslim, so he was somewhere other touched by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was touched by his presence. And in his heart, he developed some appreciation, without really knowing. And then in one occasion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed to him his form, his Vishnu form, with four hands, just to him. And then this Muslim tailor became totally mad and started screaming, "I've seen, I've seen! I've seen!" He wouldn't say what it is, but "I've seen!" And start dancing, jumping up and down. And from that day, he joined the company of the devotees, became one of the leading devotees of the group. So then after many of these pastimes, Lord Chaitanya would go and tell the devotees, "Don't tell anyone about it." He would show some of his form, some of his opulences to the devotees. Immediately would say, "No, don't tell this to anyone. That would create a disturbance. And also that would defeat the mission of my presence here, which is to not to be treated as God, but to show how to be a servant of God." So whenever there were some kind of lila or some far out kind of pastimes, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would, "Please protect my identity. I'm here to serve. I'm here to be a sannyasi and show an example," like that. So therefore many of these pastimes were very confidential and people did not know so much about it. But the devotees knew, of course. So what was visible on the surface was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would travel and just distribute his mercy and make people mad with love, like matta, maddened matta. I mean, in Bengali, matta means really crazy. I mean, the word is mad means nuts. But this was Krishna prema, crazy because of love. And the devotees were very puzzled sometimes because Lord Chaitanya, he was so crazy in love of God that like he would take a bath in the river, in the Yamuna, and then he would start meditating under the water, he wouldn't come up. So the devotees would run after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time, and I mean, honestly, believing that he would leave his body any time, because he wouldn't consider the physical laws of nature. So they had to kind of protect him all the time, and that was their service, to make sure that he was kind of functioning in between all the ecstasies. He was eating regularly and accepting invitations and. So it was a tough service to be the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like that. So the Sankirtan movement is basically to give out this mercy. But then many people, even at the time of Lord Chaitanya, many people would not understand it. They think this thing is something crazy. Devotees talk about ecstasy all the time, dancing, very emotional, like crying and embracing and then, you know, mock fighting, playing the water, you know, this is Krishna consciousness. So many people did not really understand what it was. Because the Sankirtan movement is based on love. And love you cannot explain really. It's an experience of the heart. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would, the Shakti of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he would touch the heart of just anyone. Of Muslims and whoever he met. So this is a challenge, just to kind of wind up a little bit. The challenge of having this kind of mercy, this is our heritage. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu apparently left this planet, but his mercy, is the stream of love of God that is there. So as devotees, as Vaishnavas, we have this responsibility to kind of let the mercy flow, keep it flowing. It's a big responsibility. And just as in Navadvip, in those days, the Vaishnavas sometimes were considered to be a little bit crazy or special. So many people in the secular world or people belonging to other religions, they have maybe difficulty to understand what is really the essence of the Sankirtan movement, what is really all about. Just like yesterday, one devotee showed me the French government is giving out a brochure about the Hare Krishna movement, because it's difficult for them to understand really what it is. So they want to have information about it. I mean, it's a nice thing, and they ask the devotees to check it, and so they don't say something. Because they're also humble, they also understand. We don't understand this. This is too different from our culture. It's kind of, you know, mind-blowing in one sense. So we need your help. Please check so that everything is stated properly. But there is the problem is that as the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is entering into new parts of the world, like Europe, for example, then it's a complete different thing compared to what is there established. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And another problem is that there are many, to make it things complicated, like when we enter a temple room, we see the deities are so close, they are so beautiful. But there is, in the culture of Western Europe, there is no idea of deities. People don't understand really what a deity is. Why do we make representations of Krishna and Srimati Radharani and Jagannath, Subhadra, Baladev and Gauranitai? Why we worship them in that way? It's a very new feature in the West. So sometime, like in Gothenburg, where I come, there is very big Gauranitai deities. I mean, they're almost human size. They're very big. And sometimes people are very surprised, you know, to see such big forms. And we tell them this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they have very difficulty to understand. And another occasion, when we built the temple, I drove Srila Prabhupada. We purchased a murti of Prabhupada from Firenze, and then I drove that to Gothenburg. So I had Srila Prabhupada sitting next to me, sitting with his sannyasi dress, and he looked really real. I mean, he was he looked really like, you know, he was there. So the problem was when I had to cross the borders. And so I gave one passport, and he was looking. So where is the other passport? Now it's Prabhupada. They just couldn't figure out what it was. They just had no idea. The worst was when I came into Germany. So the man at the border, he couldn't kind of figure out, you know, what Prabhupada was. And then I was kind of stopping, taking some rest. There was a police car going forth and back, and just watching a Prabhupada to figure out, is it dangerous? Or is it some kind of alien coming in our country? So that's a challenge. We have to, this is so different from whatever they've seen before. So. Also in India it's a little bit the same. Vaishnavism, now we're reading about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was the 1500, 1510, 20. This was before Akbar came in. This was a period when the Muslims used to destroy all deities. And now Vaishnavism, the heart of Vaishnavism is the temples, right? Where people come, we worship the deities, we have festivals, like today is Holi. The devotees come together, throw colors, have fun, eat prasadam. This is our culture, right? But then the Muslims would destroy that. They would destroy all the temples. They would destroy the murtis. So there are many stories of the devotees, the pujaris, running in the night with with the bags full of murtis and dig holes in the ground or hiding them in bushes because of that. So there was a severe attack against the Vaishnava culture. And practically all the Vaishnava temples in North India were destroyed, or they were damaged, severely damaged. Many scriptures, many pandis were destroyed, and even nowadays everything is very, the families, like pious Vaishnava Bengali families, they hide their palm leaves and manuscripts and they're very, very secretive about what they have. Now there is no risk like that, but they are still very, very secretive about their treasures. But Vaishnavism is very much there in India. It's a great. That's why even when Hindu nationalism tries to appeal to the Hindu heart, the Hindu soul, so to unite the Hindus, so they basically use Vaishnava symbols. The Bhagavad Gita, Ayodhya, Ramachandra. So they use all these Vaishnava symbols because Vaishnavism is there. It's kind of the soul, the hidden soul of India. But the problem is that it's not obvious, because most of modern Hinduism is Advaita Vedantic, is impersonalist. And many of these gurus, Advaita guru, modern Hindu gurus, they're very prominent in India. They're very well respected. They're great leaders. But the Vaishnavas are not so visible in India. And there is a reputation that Vaishnavas, they just want to go to Vrindavan and just chant. So in Bengal there is a kind of many stories about this. Like one story is there was a cat, and this is a village story. I mean, it's not Shastra. It's like it's not in the Bhagavad Purana. But just an example, in the villages they tell these stories. There was a big cat. And he was living in a nice, opulent family. So, and he was always very sarcastic about the street cats. He says, look, I'm eating so nicely, I'm very fat. And in the afternoon I can just take the sun in the veranda together with my masters. And they clap me all the time, take care of me nicely. And then look at you, you're skinny, everybody's kind of kicking you out, you're a disturbance. So in this way he was enjoying life very sweetly. But then one day he made something naughty, smashed something, I don't know what happened, so they kick him out. So then the custom in India is when you want to get rid of a cat, because the cat keep coming back, so you have to take the cat and then bring it to another village. Then you know that the cat will not come back, so you have. So the children of the house were taking the cat by force. He didn't want to go, obviously. So it was, and then they were dragging the cat in the middle of the street to the next village. Throw him out. So then all the street cats, they were watching very happily. Oh, see? You told us so many bad things, and now you are going through the same thing. Now we become also a street cat. So then the cat, he was a little smart, so he said, why are you saying that? I'm not ending up in the street. These children are bringing me to Vrindavan. I'm renouncing my home. So I'm blessed. So the street cats couldn't say anything. So that's a little bit the story, that if something, you know, Vaishnava always want to go to Vrindavan. That's why they tell the story. Whenever somebody lose, you lose something, you know, you lose your money or something, then you just go to Vrindavan and chant and go back to God. So there is this reputation, but then on the other side, when Bhaktisiddhanta was building his movement in Calcutta, he wanted to do exactly the opposite. Because Calcutta was the nest of modern Hinduism. It was like the Vaishnavas were very, very weak. There was no really Vaishnava temple. So then he wanted to put, he built this Bagh Bazar temple. It looks like a rocket. You have seen it? Bagh Bazar? I mean, those days, the neighborhood was just, you know, not very developed. So he built this white thing in marble. Very modern, in those days was a very modern building with lot of pinnacles, and it looks really far out, like a very modern building, and very, very tall. So you could see the pinnacle of the temple from a long, long distance. So he wanted that he really stick in the eye. He wanted them to see that, so that they would know, now the Vaishnavas are back. So in this way he made himself very visible. And he did. If you went to Calcutta, everybody knew about the Gaudiya Math. They were among the first one to, when the radio was developing in Bengal, he would send his disciples to give lectures. Wherever any chance there was to make the Gaudiyas visible, immediately he was there. So that's why this is a challenge, like the temple in Mayapur now coming up. It's not just a temple, it's a heart of a whole development of Vaishnava culture, to make Vaishnavism more and more visible in India. So we should not be afraid in this way to plan different ways to make Vaishnavism a real presence in the world, and also gradually teach in a spirit of love and share the wonderful theology that we have, and this message of mercy and love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to the world. It's a wonderful message, and the only challenge is just to be able to present it in a nice way so that people can accept it in a way that will touch their hearts. Because in Kali Yuga, force doesn't help. The only thing that really helps is the sweetness of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the prasada, the food, and the books, Srila Prabhupada's words. They touch the heart of the people and they become attracted to it. That's when the preaching really starts. So we cannot force them or bang with the hammer on the head. It's the Sankirtan movement is very sweet. So today is a very auspicious day, Sivas Pandit's appearance day. So we can perhaps think a little bit about the mercy, eat a lot of prasada, and throw colors, and have a joyful festival. And this way, when the devotees come together and have a wonderful exchange, then the strength of the Sankirtan movement increases. Because whenever devotees come together and cooperate, that's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is. That's where the strength of the Sankirtan movement is. And when devotees separate or start quarreling, that's when the mercy goes away. Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shiva Spandit ki jai. Is there any comment or... Yeah, Maharaj?
Last week I was in Baltimore for Nima. And during the lecture in the afternoon, there was a guest who said something very, very interesting related to how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was perceived by people.
Right.
He explained how he got away. I didn't verify it, but okay, I took his word. It was a nice comment. He said the Portuguese reached India in 1498.
Mm-hmm.
So that means this was during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at his villa.
Yes. Yes.
The Spanish went on the opposite.
Went to the Americas.
Went to the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
The Portuguese, they got north. So, and of course, after that, Lord Chaitanya will be in his 12th year of
age.
His birth, when they arrive, and naturally they will be traveling and visiting different places, conquering.
Yes.
And so on.
Yes.
So he said he read references written by Portuguese, they call it coronistas, chronicles.
Chronicles? A chronicler, or?
Yes, chronicles.
Yes.
Are what they write.
Yeah.
So they will keep track of what was happening, what they were finding when they will visit different places.
Right.
So some of them met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Really?
They described how they defined him. They wrote the golden giant. The golden giant.
Wow.
Was
wow.
And then how he was dancing with groups with drums. Some people have the mercy. I told them that actually that's why Portuguese people are so biased. The mercy of people.
They are, yes. Wow, what a, it would be nice to have that reference. She had the reference?
No, that was there. I can't find.
Could you ask? I mean, I would be very interested to have that reference. Yeah, amazing.
I have one comment to make.
Yes, please.
There was, I was wondering if you have heard of, there was another Vaishnavite saint who was in the southern part of India in the 10th, 11th century.
Yes.
By the name of Ramanuj.
Oh, yeah, Ramanujacharya. Yes,
so
yes.
I think he probably existed. He promoted Vaishnavism.
Absolutely.
To a very large extent, and tried to bring out the good aspects of Vaishnavism and the positive things of Vaishnavism.
Yes.
But that probably happened about 500 years.
Before Chaitanya, you're right. Yes. Yes, Ramanuja. Yes, actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who was the guru of Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, he traveled very often to the south of India and visited the Ramanuja Sampradaya many times, and he kind of learned from them about the Sannyasa Ashram. He was very much inspired by the way they organized the Sannyasa Ashram. And he installed also a deity of Ramanuja in his main temple in Mayapur, together with Madhva and other Vaishnavacharyas. His idea was that the strength of Vaishnavism could be improved by cooperation between the Vaishnava Sampradayas. Because if that would happen, then Vaishnavism would become much more visible, much more strong in India. Now it's very scattered. There are many groups that don't really cooperate. So it's an easy match for those who are against Vaishnavism to make it kind of disappear in the sand. But if the Vaishnava groups cooperate more, then they can do wonderful things to spread the message of Vaishnavism, the theistic message of Vaishnavism in India.
I was born in a Vaishnava family.
Right, yes.
You are right, it's very small. It's only about 2%. I'm from Tamil Nadu. Only about 2% of the population of Tamil Nadu are Vaishnavites. So that's a very, very, very small percentage.
Yes. So something has to be done. Yes?
You mentioned how to present Krishna consciousness, what is the essence? So, like if there's a television crew or some Western, how could we explain what is the essence of Krishna?
Well, in three sentences is Sambandha Bide Prayojana. The first, Jivara Svarupavai, Krishna Nitya Dash, we are eternal servants of God, Krishna. The process is chanting His name. And the goal is to develop your love for God. This is our philosophy. And if you present our philosophy nicely, then nobody can really object. Because, I mean, who can object that you want to serve? Serving God means serving the people and give them prasad and take care of the people. And the goal is love of God, and many religions preach more or less the same. So that would be a very, kind of basic way to present it. And then, yes.
Yeah, and now that we're on the topic, that how would you present Gaudiya Vaishnavism in India to more, bring these sampradayas together, start preaching to in India? Specifically by reading to Vaishnavas?
Well, when I speak with Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, he's telling me he's staying in South India, so when he has the Vyasa Puja, he does it in the Udupi temple with the Madhvas. Sometime he has been doing the Vyasa Puja there, and they are very appreciative of the Gaudiyas, of the devotees of ISKCON especially, because they feel that, because Vaishnavas in South India, in India generally, they haven't been really about preaching very much. They haven't really created powerful preaching movements. So many Vaishnavas in India, even if they don't belong to our Sampradaya, they see ISKCON as a successful movement in that sense that has really created something strong and global, and presented Vaishnavism in such a way that even non-Indians can understand it. So I think what is missing is the strategy and see the need of doing that. Maybe this is it's nothing that we speak very much in ISKCON about how to cooperate with other sampradayas. But my personal opinion is that in due course of time, that would make even ISKCON presence in India more powerful, because as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was saying, in Kali Yuga numbers number count. So if we can unite the Vaishnavas, you know, the main sampradayas of India, then, you know, the number becomes much bigger. ISKCON is there, but if you unite all the Vaishnavas of India, then it's a big number. So then it's easier to, you know, have a little stronger voice, you know. It's not just ISKCON, but this is the Vaishnavas of India. We want to worship Krishna. Please let us build temples, build cities, and like that. That's a good question. Why Advaita Acharya is called Advaita? Well, in one sense, I don't have any practical explanation why it's called Advaita, but in one sense, our philosophy is, in one sense, Advaita, because everything is Krishna. And Advaita Acharya was called Krishna to come, in that sense. It's a good question. I don't have a clear answer to that. Maybe Maharaj?
It's such an answer at some point in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think it's just because, but I will have to check it.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
It's just like because he preaches, he teaches the real meaning of Advaita. Like, the meaning explained by the monies is not the real meaning. Advaita means his transcendental. I mean, God is transcendental to material nature. That's a real meaning. Like, we find this at Advaita Jnana in the Vedanti Tattva verse from the Bhagavatam. Learning transcendental is to understand that the non-dual substance is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And this is the real meaning of Advaita. So because he shows the real meaning, he is known as Advaita. And Acharya, because he teaches the process of devotion, the process of bhakti. But I will have to check to be more accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when in the Adi Lila, in the first chapters, when he describes, yeah, the glories of Advaita Acharya. Thank you. Jai. Hare Krishna.